Praise the Lord. Nice ouch. Nice music. Absolutely heavenly nature. It would be nice to live here all year round. I believe in gardening at home. My wife and I have a beautiful garden. We are not professionals, but we do know a few tips. My wife and I spent about 10 months in Norway in an organic agriculture school, Adventist self-supporting school, and we are certified in organic agriculture. And sometimes when I give sermons, I start with 10 minutes tips, things that people don't even think about or imagine, and people love it. But I'm not going to give you organic agriculture tonight. I wonder, from the last night message, if you remember only the story or you remember the important points, what you learned from the story. What do you think would be the most important part that we should learn from a story like last night? What was the message? Keep praying. That's one of them. Do not give up. Persistent prayer. Another one. Surrender. Give it all. Don't give just half or 50% or 30 or 70 or 90. I am not talking about money. I am talking about everything, including money, including time, including gifts, including heart, everything. We are afraid to give it all to God. We say we love Jesus more than anything, but we don't love Him enough to give Him everything. Do you follow me? I hope you hear me. I love Jesus with all my heart, except that I don't want to give Him everything. If I said that to my wife, I would sleep on the couch. I love my wife enough to do whatever she says. If I tried in the beginning of the marriage to argue, after a week of miserable life, I would still do what she said. So I just do it and I am happy. Why spend a miserable week when I can be happy? In a different scale, it's the same with God. We fight and we argue instead of surrendering. You understand? Why don't we surrender? Why is it so difficult to surrender? Ellen White says that the greatest enemy is self. She says that self is in need to be crucified. When we have problems, we crucify everybody around but self. We blame people for our own problems. We blame God for our problems. Why would God do that? We don't blame Him too much for our blessings, though, you know. And so, saying that, let's bow our heads and continue. Father, again, we thank You so much that You promised whenever two or three come in Your name, You will be there. We believe that promise. We pray that You pour Your Spirit tonight and transform us. May it be for Your joy and Your glory. In Jesus' merits we ask. Amen. And so, I talked about my son, our son, and the way we prayed. I'm going to give you a Bible example on how to pray. All great events in the Bible history, all of them happened because of prayer. In my doctoral program, I show how all revivals in the world history happened because a group of people prayed. There is no revival ever that happened without serious prayer. So if you want prayer, if you want revival, you need prayer. Ellen White says that the greatest and most urgent among all our needs is for revival. And then she says revival happens when people pray. When they pray, they receive the Holy Spirit. When they receive the Holy Spirit, they experience revival and power. We have no power. Weak Christians means small God. My God is not small. You follow me? And so all events have happened because of prayer. I could give you story after story after story after story. Small stories, big stories, doesn't matter. Small stories, big stories. I could give you a very, very, very simple example. I never lost anything in my life. I don't get it when people, I lost my keys, I lost my cell phone. How in the world do you lose it? Do you ever lose your head, your hand, your leg? I mean, these things are attached to me. I never lose them. My wife loses everything. My wife says, I lost my telephone. And then when I open the refrigerator to get myself a nice Dove dark chocolate ice cream, I know it's not healthy, but anyway, I open the refrigerator and my wife's cell phone is in the refrigerator. She talked to somebody, she finished, she opened the refrigerator to get something, put the telephone, got something and closed the door. I mean, I said, honey, how in the world do you leave it there? Well, I never lost anything. But here I am, coming from Germany, speaking there for the Youth Congress, coming back home, and on the plane, I fell asleep. And the telephone dropped from my pocket in the chair. When I woke up, we were ready, we were home. I was, because I was alone, you know. And I got up quick, and I didn't check my pocket. And I got out of the plane, and as I was going through the customs, I realized that my pocket is kind of too light. So I ran back, but they don't let me in. By the time I convinced them to check it out, the plane was gone. I lost my cell phone. I was so upset with myself. I felt like finding a wall and hitting the wall with my head until something would break, either the wall or my head. I never lose a telephone. And I had two telephones, as I do now. I had my, you can see them there, my work phone and my family phone. So I lost my family phone. I called my wife on my work phone. I said, honey, I lost my telephone. She says, praise the Lord. And why would you rejoice? She says, finally, you lost something, so you'll give me a break when I lose something. I prayed. Nothing happened. I went to the airport. They called people wherever the plane went. They checked the plane. They checked under the seat. They checked everywhere. They said, no, lost. I started a case. Delta started a case. A month later, they sent me an email. We are going to close the case. We could not find your telephone. We checked the lost and found. We checked this. We checked that. Everywhere. Done. We are done searching for your cell phone. No hope. And then I go to Australia to speak there. And as I go to Australia to speak there, in Sydney, tired after 16 hours flight, and that's only the flight, not to mention that I had to drive from home to Baltimore Airport, 1 hour, spend 2 hours in the airport, fly 5.5 hours to LA, spend 2 hours in LA, fly 16 hours to Sydney, spend 3 hours in Sydney, and from Sydney fly another, I don't know, to Tasmania, and then from there to Melbourne, and then back to Sydney, and then back home. Crazy. Anyway, I mean, LA, and then home, and then driving. And so 16 hours was only one segment out of 32 hours travel trip. And after those 16 hours, I was tired. And so I go to change from the international plane to the domestic plane in Australia to go from this international airport, 20 minutes drive with the bus, with the shuttle, to the domestic airport. And as I run, I go to the lady at the cashier, and I say, how do I change my plane? She says, very simple. You get out there, and you see that shuttle. That goes to the domestic. Hurry, because it's leaving right now, and the next one comes in 20 minutes, and you want to get your connection. Done. So as I was talking to her, I was looking in my cell phone to give her my reservation number. And I put my cell phone there, and I showed her my passport. And she says, hurry. And I start running, and I get in the bus. Guess what? My cell phone remained there. That was the work cell phone. So now, within a month, I lost 2 cell phones. That's a record. And so I'm in the bus, and I'm struggling. And I talk to the... I started to pray. And I said, Lord, I know it's a little too much to ask, and you are a big God, and you take care of the universe and people who die of hunger and wars and salvation and big things. And this is a small thing, but you said you care even for people's hair. That's even smaller, you know? You said you care for birds. Would you please, you can see where my telephone is? Would you please give me my cell phone back because this is the work telephone and I badly need it. I cannot function without the work telephone. I have no schedule. I have no appointments. They cannot call me. Please, would you do that for me? And I said, I know I don't deserve anything. As I am praying, the bus driver says, is somebody Mr. Goya in the bus? I said, yes. Well, the lady from the cashier from the office found your cell phone and she remembers that you talked to her and she cannot open the telephone to see whose telephone it is. But somebody behind you said, hey, that guy that asked for the domestic airport, he left the telephone on the counter. So she looked in the computer and she found your name. And so she says she has your cell phone. I said, should I go back? He says, no, you lose your connection because the next bus comes back in a half an hour and then the next bus goes back in a half an hour, you lose it. He says, the lady says, stay in the airport. First bus that comes after me, before I go back and come again, is going to bring the cell phone. As I am waiting in the domestic airport for my work phone to come, I say, Lord, I'm going to push like Abraham. If there are 45, what if there are 40? What if there are 35 in Sodom? You know, you remember? Abraham pushing God. What if there are 10? What if, you remember? I say, Lord, you help me find my work phone. Would you now give me my family phone? And that was after a month or so, almost 5 weeks. When they bring my work phone back, I have an email in my work phone. I check the email from Delta. We are fixing the chair in a plane somewhere in I don't remember what city, and we found between the hand rest and the chair a cell phone dropped there. And we think it's yours. We put it in the mail. By the time I got back home from Australia, my family phone was already home. This is a small story, but it's not small. We have a big God. But what would be the lesson in this story? When I prayed for my phone, I got no phone. When I prayed, I said, how could I serve? I am unable. They all, for work, they call me on my work phone. How could I serve? Would you please give me my work phone? I gave up the family phone, but I need to serve. I need to keep serving. You call me to serve. Please, if you think that I continue to serve, give me my work phone. What is my schedule and my appointments and everything? And God says, if you would ask for treasures, I would not answer. That's selfish. But because you ask for wisdom to judge my people, I'm going to also give you treasures. You remember who God said that to? Solomon, good answer. You have an A. That was an easy question. I'm going to ask you a difficult one. Anyway, so, when I asked for my family phone, I got no answer. When I said, Lord, I need to serve, God gave me both. This is a lesson that I learned again and again and again. And very few people understand. The more we pray for us, the more problems we have. When we start giving us up, and we feel like, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to lose everything. When we start to give self up, then we start getting blessings. Do you understand? When you stop focusing on self, the more you focus on God, the more you focus on others, the more you focus on service, the more God can bless you so you could share those blessings. God doesn't give it to you so you have a comfortable life. God gives it to you so you have what to share. If you don't share, you don't show Christ's character. We show somebody else's character, not God's. God is not selfish. Heaven is not about self. People who worry for self don't match heaven. They will not feel comfortable in heaven. Let me go to the sermon because last night I gave you only the title. Tonight I want to give you the sermon. In the Bible, there is... Oh, by the way, do you want to see my son from the story last night? I'm going to show you a picture with him before the accident. Can you see the screen? Yeah. The one in white shirt. It's Gabriel before the accident. You see? Now, if you look in the next picture, the white in white shirt is him after the accident. You see how pretty he is? He's almost as handsome as myself. 5 titanium plates. Can you see that there? Except that if you hit him, you are going to get a lot of pain in your hand. He's bang. He's like, still, you know, when he goes to the airport, pew, 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 all the machines go off. And so, let's go to the... You want to see a nice picture? Okay, let's start. Oh, by the way, this is the family just short ago. Gabriel and Denisa, in the right side, or my right, that direction, Ovi and Kayla in that side, and Eva, our granddaughter, in the middle. Aren't they pretty? You don't have to answer. I believe they are pretty. Thank you. Okay, let's go to the sermon. Commitment to prayer. There is a Bible verse that says, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Did you ever realize that when you don't pray for others, you sin against God? Did you ever think about that? Because Jesus gave you a command, pray for one another. That's not a suggestion. You know, if you want, when you have time, you could. It's a command. It's an imperative in the Greek. Pray for one another. Did you know that the more you pray for others, the more you grow? There is a quotation in the Spirit of Prophecy that says, God didn't call us because he needs us. But God called us that because the more we pray for others and the more we serve others, the more we grow into Jesus' image, into God's image, the more we become like him. And for us to grow, we got to care for others, to pray for them, to serve them, to save them. Now, saying that, you got to be committed to prayer. People are committed to work, committed to school, committed to other things. You got to be committed to prayer if you want to see things happening in your spiritual life and in your life altogether. You got to be committed to prayer. There is a Bible story. And in that Bible story, and by the way, prayer brings change, brings power, brings revival, brings results. Changes you, changes people around you. Why don't we pray more? There is a lady in the Bible. Her husband loves her a lot. Her name is Hannah. And the lady doesn't have children. And in the Bible history, in that time, in that culture, to have children meant that you are blessed. Not to have children meant that you are cursed. And people would say, oh, whoever knows what they did. They did something really bad if God cursed them. And so people wanted to have children. Nations around Israel would get more wives to get more children to be more blessed. Instead of Israel converting other people to God, the nations influence Israel. Should be the other way around. The church should influence the world, not the world should influence the church. But sometimes, if you see them together, you see no difference between the church and the world. And so, Israel started to copy the nations, and they started to get more wives. So guess what? Elkanah said, you know, Hannah doesn't have children, so I'm going to marry Peninnah. So he married a second wife. Now they are going to be happy because they have more children. That was not happiness. The Bible says that the family became miserable. Miserable. Because God, when he created Adam, he gave her Eve, not Eves. It was one. It was not plural. You follow me? One. When you have more, that's a sin. You follow me? And so, when there were more, trouble came. The Bible says that her rival provoked her severely to make her miserable. How long? A day, a month, a year? What does he say there? Year after year. How many years is that? 2, 3, 5, 10, 20? Year after year after year. When they went to the house of the Lord, she provoked her. And she wept and she did not eat. And she was in bitterness of soul. In bitterness, the Hebrew word is mar. That means anguish, pain. And she continued to pray before the Lord. Year after year after year, she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. Lord, give me a baby. Lord, give me a baby. and she got no answer. Did you ever pray and you got no answer? Yes or no? And she prayed, give me a baby, please, Lord, please, please. If you, I'm going to fast. We do that. We use fasting as a hunger strike to convince God to hear us. Fasting is not that hard God would hear you. Fasting is that you clear your mind so you hear him. We say, brother, you didn't have faith. If you have strong faith, that is going to work. Faith is not to manipulate God. Faith is to manipulate you. It's not faith. Oh, if you believe God is going to do it, he has no choice. Faith doesn't twist God's arm. Faith is not to manipulate God to do your will, to manipulate you to accept God's will when you don't understand. That's faith. When you trust in him without understanding. And so she prayed and prayed year after year after year. And she kept praying for a baby and she got no baby. I suppose they went to the doctors in Florida, to that clinic that is the best in birth or whatever it is, and they got all the medicine in the world, nothing. And they had money and they paid this doctor, and then they started to eat tofu and broccoli, nothing. They, oh, you know, if we eat healthy, we are going to get pregnant, nothing. And then they had the whole church pray, Lord, give them a baby, nothing. And so, after a while, she changed her prayer. Did you notice that in the Bible? And instead of saying, Lord, give me a baby, she said, Lord, if you give me a baby, I'm going to give him to you. And when she prayed that way, she got a baby. Did you notice that? It's very strange. When you pray for you, you get nothing. When you pray for others, you get something. When you keep the bread, you lose it. When you give the bread, you get it back. When you want to be small, God put you up. Right here. When you want to be there, God put you down. Isn't that something? Who is going to save his life is going to lose it. Who is willing to lose his life is going to save it. God to Abraham, sacrifice your son. Okay, no need. I'm going to do the sacrifice for you. You don't need to sacrifice your son. Isn't that something? And we never learn it. All over the Bible, whatever you surrender, that's what is blessed. Whatever you keep, you lose. Why don't we learn the lesson? It seems, as Ellen White says, that we are afraid to surrender because we don't know God enough to trust in him. We don't know what's going to happen to us when we surrender. We are so focused on self that we are afraid what's going to happen next. And because we don't trust him, we don't surrender. We feel more secure if we are in control than if God was in control. Isn't that strange that we trust self more than we trust God, while we say that we trust God practically, we are afraid to fully surrender? And so, back to the story. When she changed her prayer, by the way, it says there that she prayed continually. You know what that means? The word is rabah. That means excessive. I mean, she didn't pray one or two or three prayers. She prayed all the time. She was a woman of prayer. The spirit of prophecy says that prayer is the breath of the soul. People who want to live, they breathe all the time. If you want to solve your problems, don't breathe for 2 hours. All problems solved. You cannot stop breathing. The same with prayer. You cannot stop praying. If you are a Christian, you pray. Christians that are not connected to God are not Christians. Only Ellen White calls them nominal Christians. Wow. It's easy to be in the books of the church, but unless you are connected to your God, you follow me? Pray without ceasing. Without me, you are nothing. If you abide in me and I in you, you remember? What does it mean to abide in him? It means to be continually connected. What does it mean that Enoch walked with God? He was continually connected. Shouldn't we be continually connected to our wonderful, powerful, amazing God? Imagine, he gave Jesus on the cross. What would be easier if you are God? To give somebody a job or to give your son to die on the cross? What would be Would you have hard time to choose, should I give them a job or give them my son to die? That's an easy choice. Take the job. Because God says, and it happens, let there be light. Light. Be still. Still. God has power, creative power, energy in his words. When God says, bang, it happens. God could have said, have a job. Have a baby. Done. If God would say, have a baby, and he would not specify the name, everybody in the world would get a baby. You follow me? Easy. He's God. Nothing is impossible. He says to the dead, get up. Pew! To the mountains, move. To the sun, go back. To the walls of Jericho, get down. It's God. We forget so many times when we lose our hope. We forget that we talk about God. We put our eyes on the problems instead of putting our eyes on God. My father used to say, when you have big problems, that's because you have a small God. Because if you see how big he is, your problem seems, they seem pretty small compared to him. The question is, where do you put your eyes? On the problems or on God? And so, back to the story. Back to the story. Listen carefully. Very important. God could have said, have a baby. But he chose to say, I'm going to give my son. That was a tough decision. Read Desire of Ages, the chapters, Gethsemane and so on, and the cross and everything. How terrible what they did to him. How much he suffered. The whole heaven. There was no bigger gift that God could have given you. In Jesus, he gave you more than the whole universe. There is nothing more than God could have given you. And the Bible says in Romans, if he gave you Jesus, how will he not also in Jesus give you all things? But people don't see the word in. How will he not also in Jesus? People want things without Jesus. They don't understand that things come with Jesus. People say, give me this, give me that, but not Jesus. You need to say, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You follow me? People say, give me Jesus. Because when you give up things and ask for Jesus, Jesus never comes empty-handed. When he comes, life comes, power comes, gifts come, blessings come. When he comes, everything comes. Without him, nothing comes. Why do we focus on things instead of focusing on Jesus? If he is the spring, the origin of all good things. Do you understand? And so, God gave his son. If he gave his son, it's not difficult. It's not a difficult question to know that he will take care of you. I'm not saying that you are going to have a nice Mercedes and a big house. I am saying that he will provide for the necessary things. Okay, now saying that, we go back to the story. When she wanted a baby, she got no baby. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Who knows? 10 years. Who knows? 20 years. How long? When she finally gave up the baby, you see, oh, it's simple. She gave up the baby. When you have a baby, I want to see if you are willing to give up your baby. I want to see what mother would do that. When she was willing to give up her baby, then God gave her a baby. That baby was so committed in his life and served God so well because she gave him to Jesus. If she would have kept him for herself in a selfish way, he would have been a spoiled brat. You follow me? Mommy, my computer is 6 months old and my cell phone is 3 months old. They just came with a new one. I don't want this cell phone anymore. You follow me? Oh, don't worry, mommy. I'm going to get you a new one. I love you, mommy. You know what I'm talking about. Hopefully you don't. And so, she was committed to prayer. And listen carefully. She prayed, it says there, continued to pray. Continued, the word rabach means excessive, numerous, great, many, 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 many abundant prayers. That means that prayer was like breathing. Prayer was all the time. She prayed as the breath of the soul. She prayed without ceasing. This is what happens. People that don't pray routine, people that don't pray in crisis, people that pray all the time, that prayer is going to change their life. Did you hear what I said? Let me explain. Why didn't Peter pray to say, Lord, should I pray?
pray for this guy. If it's your will, please heal him. He has been paralyzed for 40 years. Oh, Lord, please, would you have mercy on him? Why didn't Peter pray? He just said, money I don't have, but what I have, I give you. In Jesus' name, take your bed and walk. Didn't Peter pray before? The Bible doesn't say that. In my Bible, he didn't pray. He saw the paralyzed and he said, give me a penny. Oh, I don't have money, but in Jesus' name, walk. Ellen White says, you know why he didn't pray? She says, because he was in the spirit. And she says, because he was continually connected, the spirit impressed him to say that. People that are not continually connected, they need to pray in crisis. People that are continually connected, in crisis they don't panic because they are connected. Do you follow me? People that are connected have peace because they know they are in God's hands. They never disconnect. God leads them. God talks to them. That's the reason we sing, and he walks with me and he talks. Should not be only a song. For her, prayer was a way of life. She was praying continually. People who pray continually, something happens to them. The more they pray, the more they know Jesus. Don't you know that if you spend time with somebody, you get to know that somebody? The more time you spend with a person, the more you know that person. Would you agree with me? The more you pray, the more you know Jesus. The more you know Jesus, something happens to you. People say, oh, I would love to know God. Then spend time with him. The more you know him, the more you start to understand how wonderful he is, how loving, how powerful, how merciful, how much patience he has with you. The plans, the love, the grace, the goodness, the compassion. And they say, wow. The more time you spend with him, the more you are like when you go to the dentist. Wow. You know, people who pray a lot, they switch focus. They forget self and start focusing on him. When you focus on you, that means that you don't pray. When you pray, you start to see him and to forget self and to focus on him. As she keeps praying and praying and praying, she started with the wrong reason. Give me a baby, give me this, give me that, give me that. Like the disciples. Desire of Ages says that they went to the upper room because they were afraid of the Pharisees. If they kill Jesus, what are they going to do to us? They were afraid for themselves. Oh, Lord. And they started to pray. Protect us, Lord, please. But then Desire of Ages says the more they prayed, the more they are transformed. Prayer transforms. How should I get victory? Pray. Well, I prayed 5 minutes and I didn't change. Duh. It's like I went 1 hour to school and I didn't get a doctorate degree. It's funny. I don't go 1 hour to school to be a physician. Oh, I prayed 2 minutes and I didn't change. Prayer is the breath of the soul. Prayer is the breath of the... You pray all the time. The more you pray, the more you know him. The closer you get to him and know him, you are transformed into his image. Just by spending time in his presence. The more she spent time in prayer, the more she was transformed. The more the disciples prayed, the Desire of Ages says that they switch focus from fear of Pharisees to focus on God and his mission. And they stopped praying for protection for self, and they started to pray for Jerusalem. Lord, please work for these people. And after 10 days of prayer, when they switched praying for others, they got the Holy Spirit. Do you follow me? Isn't that powerful? Let's go back to the story. When she says, she prayed more and more and more, and she was changed. And instead of focusing on her need, she says, if you give me a baby, I'm going to give him to you. When she says that, things happen. It says there in the Bible that as she was praying in the sanctuary, the high priest saw her moving her lips. And sometimes we do that in prayer. Sometimes we move our lips. Sometimes we pray quiet. Sometimes we pray loud, you know. Not a rule. And the priest, the pastor, comes and says, get sober. You remember the story? Well, let me ask you, if you're miserable, year after year, your boss or your neighbor or your spouse or your whoever gives you a hard time,
blaming you, calling you names, humiliating you. You are garbage. You are good of nothing. You are cursed. You are nobody. You are. If somebody makes your life miserable year after year after year after year, and you cry and you pray and you cannot eat and you cannot sleep, and you go to the church and you pray and you cry and you are broken-hearted, and the pastor comes and says, "You are drunk." How do you feel about the pastor? You follow me? I'm going to call the president at the conference. You know what this pastor said to me? That's what people, they call the president. You know what this pastor did to me? You know, when they call the president, "I'm sorry, I don't know you. I don't know if you ever did that." But you know what that says? That says about them. You follow me? If they were people of prayer, they would do what she did. Let me explain. People of prayer, the more they pray, the more they are changed. The more they are changed, the less pride they have. "Oh, he offended me." That means that it's a me in the game. "He offended me." The Bible says, "I've been crucified and I no longer live." When I was a kid and the classmates would make fun of me, "You are an Adventist. Oh, you believe in God." I would go home crying, "Oh, they call me an Adventist." I was in first grade. My father said, "Why do you cry?" "They call me an Adventist." "Aren't you?" "Yes." "Then why do you cry?" "I don't know. They hurt me." My father took me by hand to the cemetery, to a grave, and he says, "There is a dead guy right there in the ground." "I know." "Call him names. Call him an Adventist." "He's dead. Why would I call him an Adventist?" "Just say, 'You are an Adventist.'" "What did he say?"
"Nothing."
"Call him stupid."
"You are stupid."
"What did he say?"
"Nothing."
"Hit him." "What did he say?"
"Nothing."
"Why?"
"He's dead."
"Well, son, when you are alive, people will keep hurting you. You need to die." You know why people hurt you? Oh, because you are alive. You just talk about death to self. But that's a nice theory. If you are dead and Christ will live in you, people could not hurt you. They would hurt Christ. And you no need to defend yourself. Christ would defend you. When people would hurt you, you would not hurt them back. That tells that you are not better. When people would hurt you, you would do like Jesus. Forgive them because they don't know what they do. You follow me? Jesus says, love even your... That means that if you are a Republican, you love the Democrats. You are a Democrat, you love the Republicans. Now, this is a red zone. I was already talking politics. They are going to hate me forever. Should we hate each other? You don't have to agree with somebody, but you have to love them. Why in the world would you want to be divided? Satan brings division in the church. Satan brings division in the family. Satan brings division everywhere. Jesus brings unity. Pray for one another. Love one another. Care for one another. Help one another. Love your enemy. Pray for your enemy. If he takes your coat, give him your shirt too. Don't give him your pants, but give him your shirt. You follow me? Why don't you do that? And so, back to the story. The pastor says, "You are drunk." She doesn't allow herself to be offended. She doesn't allow herself to say, "Wow, what did he say to me? Oh, I am suffering, and this pastor has no compassion. He judges me." She doesn't allow herself to judge the pastor or to criticize, even in her mind, moreover, to call the conference. She says, very simple, very humble, "I am not drunk, I was praying." Very simple answer, solving a big 3 months conflict with the conference and the pastor and board meetings. 3 months conflict solved in a second. "I'm not drunk, I'm praying." Simple, humble, friendly Christian answer. Do you follow me? Listen carefully. I'm going to jump a little. People that pray a lot, they switch focus from self to God. When they switch focus on God, instead of praying for self, they start to surrender all to God. People that switch focus, what happens to them? When they switch focus on God and they understand how big He is and how good He is, they become small, meek. The Bible says, blessed are the
meek. You remember? What does it mean? What does it mean to be meek? I looked in the dictionary. It means patient under provocation. Patient under provocation. You don't allow yourself to explode. You're patient under provocation. I die daily. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Christ. Ellen White has a quotation. She says, if you serve God, you don't need to defend yourself. He will fight for you. When you need to fight for yourself, it means that you don't serve God. You serve self. Hello? She becomes, the more she prays, the more she knows God, the more she focuses on God, the more she focuses on God, the more humble she is. When she says, I'm not drunk, I'm just praying, the pastor says, go in peace and may God grant your petition. Now, if that terrible pastor would say to me, you are drunk, when he says, go in peace, may God answer your prayer, would I rejoice? If I was praying 10 years or 20 years for a baby and I went to Florida to the clinic and I took pills and I ate tofu and I did everything and I fasted and for 10 years, for 15 years, I didn't get pregnant, when the terrible pastor says, go in peace, would I, hey, I am pregnant! Would I do that? He says here, she instantly ate and she was no longer sad. She goes back and she never ate. When they would eat, she would cry. And she goes back and she starts eating. And her husband says, what's wrong with you? You were sad. You were crying just 5 minutes ago. He says, I am pregnant. Wow! Is it moving? No. How do you know you didn't get your period? Or no. How do you know you are pregnant? The pastor said, go in peace. May God answer your... That doesn't say anything. You follow me? Why would she say that? She rejoiced before she got an answer. Listen carefully. It's easy to rejoice after you see the miracle. But it takes faith to rejoice before you see the answer. Do you follow me? People that know God, they rejoice before they see the answer. Jesus says, pray and believe that you have already received them and you will have them. You need to believe before you see it. People at Jericho, God says to Joshua, have them walk and walk and walk and walk. And in the 7 day, walk 7 times. And then blow the trumpets and then shout of victory, it says in Hebrew. In English, shout of joy. Why would they shout of victory before the walls come down? You shout of victory after you get victory. People that know God, they trust in Him and they rejoice before it happens because they know it's God. You don't need to see the miracle in order to rejoice. You rejoice when God says, go in peace. Because God doesn't lie. But there is another lesson there. Listen carefully. People that pray a lot, they know God's voice. Listen carefully. If you call me, I don't know your voice. Huh? Who is there? Oh, I am so-and-so. Really? Who are you? My wife calls me 10 times a day, and I call her 100 times a day. We talk all the time, from morning to night, we talk everything. And she knows that I eat, I like to eat. I was born eating, and I eat 10 times a day, every 5 hours. If I don't eat, I start shaking. I did go to the doctor, I am healthy. I just have a fast metabolism that burns everything. And I have energy, more than all of you together. And I eat and eat and eat and eat and never gain a pound. I know it's not fair. I don't care. Listen, that's the way I am made. That's the way God made me. My wife says it's not fair. If she sees food, she says that she would gain weight. I don't need to see it. I can eat anything, anytime in the middle of the night. I wake up at 2 a.m. and I eat and I'm happy. Now, listen, my wife knows and she calls me. Honey, how are you doing? Good, how are you doing? Good. You okay? Yeah, I am in a meeting. Did you eat? No. Are you hungry? Yeah. Get a sandwich. No, I don't have time. Get a sandwich. Okay. Bye. Love you, bye. 10 minutes later, did you get a sandwich? No. Get a sandwich. I'm going to call back. Okay, love you. 2 minutes later, did you get a sandwich? Yes. Okay, love you, bye. 4 hours later, hey, how are you doing? Good, you good. How did you eat? No. Get an apple or a banana. Okay. 2 minutes later, did you get an apple? Yes. Love you, bye. When I drive home, I get between mountains, I lose signal. Honey, sandwich, love you. How do I know that he's my wife? I know the voice. I know the message. Because I talk to her all the time. I know her since she was 3 and I was 6. I kept my eyes on her. We talked always. We got married 35 years ago. We talk 10 times a day. We talk all the time. I know her. People say, how could I know God's voice? You don't know because you don't talk to him. Talk to him more if you want to learn the voice. You follow me? Don't look for a voice. Look for him. The more you spend time with him, the more you'll distinguish when he impresses you. You follow me? Because she's a woman of prayer. She recognizes the voice of God in the pastor. It doesn't matter if a kid would talk or a donkey. When God gives you a message, if you are a prayer warrior, you are going to recognize the voice regardless who is talking. Could be a donkey, could be a kid, could be the pastor, could be somebody here. When God gives you a message, if you are a man or a woman of prayer, you are going to recognize his voice because you pray all the time and you know his voice. People who pray, they start focusing on God. They become humble. They start knowing God's voice. And she says, she ate and she was happy. People who pray, she didn't need to see the answer because she knew God and she trusted in him. People who pray, they develop faith. Let me explain it. My wife knows me. And so my wife likes Daisling. Daisling, it's a perfume, very expensive. And she finished the Daisling or Dazzling or whatever. And she talks to me and says, honey, I finished my Dazzling. I said, honey, your birthday comes very soon. I was wondering what to buy. What if you don't like it? Now I know. I'm going to get you a new Daisling. She says, wonderful. I said, she says, but you know, they discontinued the perfume. I said, don't worry. I'll get on Amazon or eBay. I'll get you one. Don't worry. She says, okay. I went to the mall. They said, we discontinued it. I went to the JCPenney, to Mace. I went online. I checked on Google. I checked on Amazon. I checked on eBay. I checked everywhere. Nothing. Oh, man, I felt so bad. I started to pray and to check more and more. Finally, I got one. Actually, they had two, but expensive, $80 one. I said, oopsie. Yeah, we got to be good stewards, you know. But my wife is worth more than that. So I said, I promised her. I cannot say, honey, it's too expensive for you. You know? You don't say that. Her birthday. So I purchased the perfume. I paid, and then when you pay on Amazon, there is a box message to the seller, you know. And I put a text message. I said, you make sure that it comes on that date. August 20 is my wife's birthday. If you don't, you'll pay for it to the point that you'll be sorry for the rest of your life. I'm not joking. When it's about my wife, hey, I'm very serious. He texted me back. Don't you worry for a second. We are working on it. I said, when people say that, it tells me that they are not serious. I said, I'm going to call you. I called him. I talked to him. I said, listen carefully. I said, I want you to listen. I want you to listen very focused. If it doesn't come to be in the mail on the 20th, you'll give me two instead of one for free and the gift of $100. He said, that's impossible. I said, you don't know me. If you knew me, you would know it's not impossible. I said, I'm going to make your life miserable. I'm going to talk to your boss and your general manager. I'm going to call Amazon headquarters. You better make sure that it is in the mail on August 20. Done. August 20, it didn't come. I go to the mail. The mail is there. The perfume is not there. I got stomach pain. My ears, when I get angry, turn red. You know, my wife saw the ears red. She says, are you okay? Somebody bothered you? Yes. Tell me. No, I cannot tell you. Tell me. I feel bad. The perfume didn't come. Mm-hmm. She says, honey, I'm not worried. I'm already happy. I said, it didn't come. She says, I don't care that it didn't come. I know you. You'll not sleep. You'll solve this problem better than in the beginning. I know how you are.
You are going to work on it until you solve it.
What did she say?
I am not worried.
Why?
I know you. And she was right. I called the general manager and I made them send me 2 perfumes overnight and a 50, I could not convince them 100, but I got a $50 gift card, you know.
She got it one day later, 2 instead of 1. Listen, people that doubt, they doubt because they don't know God. If you knew how wonderful He is, you would say, I am not worried, I know Him. I know in whom I have believed. You follow me? Because she prays a lot, before she sees the answer, before she sees the miracle, she eats and she is happy. Now listen carefully. I want you to realize something. It says there, in the process of time, she conceived. But those words, in the process of time, in Hebrew means in many years. Not in 1 year, not in 9 months. In many years. Many years could be 2, 3, 5, or 10. She did not get pregnant. Wow. You expect now she went home and after 2 months, it moves. After 5 months, you could see a bump. You follow me? Nothing. After 1 year, nothing. It says in many years. It's plural. Could be 2, 3, 4, 5. After 2 years, nothing. People say, you said you will get pregnant. She doesn't. God didn't. I thought, but God didn't. You follow me? She says, I know Him. And even if it seems that the promise delays, I know I can trust Him because my God doesn't lie. Not because of me, I don't deserve it, but because of His character and goodness, His promise is secure. She doesn't see the answer. The answer is delayed. Nevertheless, she has joy and peace and she moves on calm. She says, I don't need to pray for this anymore because I got an answer. Why would I pray for something that I got an answer for? You follow me? That's faith. People that pray, they focus on God. When they focus on God and see Him, they become humble. They start to know Him. They have faith and they have peace even if the answer doesn't come. When people don't have peace, it's because they don't know Him. Now listen carefully. If we move, the answer to prayer, most of the time in the Bible, is not an event. It's a process. It takes time. It implies faith and patience. That's the reason the Bible says in Revelation, this is the patience of the saints. Saints have no patience. Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. God wants you to develop patience. When you don't get an answer, don't despair. Rather, learn the lesson so you don't have to repeat the class. You hear what I said? Learn the lesson. Because if you don't, you have to go through the same trial again and again and again until you learn the lesson and you grow up. People who pray a lot, they have faith. And their faith is not based on answers, but on relationship. They don't have faith because they see answers or blessings, but because they know Jesus. Those who wait upon the Lord renew their strength. Do you know how to wait upon the Lord? If you don't, you need to pray more to know Him, because when you know Him, you will wait for Him. Now let's move on, so we have to finish, because it's late and I'm hungry. It says that she finally got a baby, and she weaned him, and then when he was 6 years old, she took him to the temple and she said to Eli, to the high priest, you remember, now this is the baby, I bring him before the Lord. Isn't that nice? Oh, I tell you, it's not nice. We have 2 boys, Gabriel and Ovi. When Gabriel was high school age, we were in Wisconsin and we prayed and decided by 3 answers to prayer, powerful answers, that God wants us to put him in Collegedale, in Southern. So here we are in Wisconsin, and we drive the kid in Southern. 11-hour drive. We drove 11 hours, and my wife was crying all the way. I said, honey, what's wrong with you? I'm losing my baby. Honey, look at him. He's fine. He's smiling. He's on the cell phone. He's not dead.
Yeah, but I give up my baby.
No, you don't give him up. He just goes to school. But mothers, you know, I said, honey, you have Facebook, you have FaceTime, you have cell phone, you have car, you can drive to him, he can come home in vacations, you can talk to him 10 times a day.
It's not the same, I'm losing my baby.
Can you imagine a mother losing her baby? But hey, we still had one at home. 4 years later, when the second one went to school, when we drove to Collegedale, it was the end of the world. We got there Thursday, registered him in school, stayed Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I said, honey, let's go home. She says, you go, I stay. I said, you married me, not him. Let's go home. She says, let's stay until Monday. Okay, I don't argue. I want to be happy. We stayed until Monday. I said, let's go home. We stay until Tuesday. Okay, we stay until Tuesday. Let's go home. We stay until when? I'm not going to leave my baby. I have no more babies at home. I'm going to be alone. You have me. It's not the same. Oh, come on. We drove back home to Wisconsin. She didn't talk to me. I didn't do anything wrong. She would not talk to me the whole trip back home. She cried all the time. And the baby was fine. He was very alive. Imagine Hannah. She didn't have two babies. She had only one. She didn't have cell phones, Facebook, car, email, nothing. She would see him once a year. She didn't put him in a nice place, Collegedale. She put him in a terrible house where the two sons of Eli were very corrupted. You remember? Not a safe environment. Not a place where you want your child to grow up. You follow me? If you were her, what would you pray for?
Lord, I am desperate. I am losing my baby. Please help me and give me comfort. Give me strength.
You follow me? Build my baby and protect him from those evil people. You follow me? What does she pray for? What does she pray for? My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted. I smile because I rejoice in your... 10 verses. Not one complaint. Not one request. All prayer is just praises. Why would she do that? She's losing her baby. 6 years old. Sweet little... Mama, I love you, mommy. Sweet baby. She is losing her baby. And she is leaving the baby in a polluted environment. Why would she praise the Lord? People that pray, they know the Lord. Listen. People that pray, they know the Lord. And they not only the Lord, when they know the Lord, they trust in Him. I want to give you something here. It says that people who pray, they are not consumed with their needs. Rather, they care for God's work and His needs and forget self. They don't trust their wisdom. I'm going to take care of my baby. They trust in God's power to take care of the baby. You follow me? Now listen. It says here that Samuel ministered before the Lord. Samuel ministered before, and he was wearing a linen ephod, the priestly ephod, that if you look in pictures was big and so on. His mother came once a year and brought him a little robe. If you look in Hebrew, the priestly ephod, the word is ephod, that means priestly garment, but a little cover that she gave him once a year to cover themselves. How do you put a little cover over a big cover? That doesn't matter. You put a big cover over a little one. What is here? That little cover, the word is male. That means prayer shawls. Prayer shawls. She put together many prayer shawls. She sewed them together to cover himself. What was the message? Mom, I'm not with you anymore. But I want you to know, I've been praying for you before you were born. I've been praying for you when I was pregnant. I was praying for you when you were a baby. And now I am praying for you. And as long as I live, I'm going to always pray for you. I am not with you, but I pray for you 24/7. You are. Take this robe made out of prayer shawls and cover yourself to know that you are covered in prayer, son. You are covered in prayer, daughter. You follow me? That was the message. She is a woman of prayer. Listen what the spirit of prophecy says. Every day Samuel was the subject of her prayers. Every year she made, listen. Every fiber, how many fibers has a robe? thousands. Every fiber has been woven with a prayer. How many prayers? That's Christianity 101. If you want to be a good Christian, that's what you do. You want results? Pray. You want power? Pray. Every fiber has been woven with a prayer. She didn't pray, Lord, protect my son. Lord, give him a nice degree. Let him go to Loma Linda. And Lord, give him a big house and keep him healthy. She didn't pray for these things. She didn't ask for worldly greatness. She pleaded that he may serve the Lord. He may honor God and be a blessing to others. When you pray for God, God blesses you so you could serve. Isn't that something? People that pray, they become one with Christ. And they become more and more like him to the point that they pray for God's honor, forgetting self. That means complete surrender. When you pray, it leads you through these steps to the point that slowly it grows you to the stature of fullness of Christ, to the point that you become like Jesus. Prayer, time spent with him, would transform you into his image to the point that you surrender all to Jesus. Now listen to this quotation. To everyone that offer himself to God for service. Let me repeat. To how many? How many? That means how many here? All that offers himself to Lord for what? Not, oh Lord, bless me. For service. To everyone that offers himself to the Lord for service, withholding nothing. What does it mean to withhold nothing for self? Total surrender. When you withhold nothing, that means that you give it all to Jesus. All to Jesus. You know the song? To everyone that offers himself to the Lord for service, withholding nothing, with full surrender, is given unlimited power. Unlimited heavenly power for the attainment of measureless results. Can you even understand the words unlimited power? What does it mean, unlimited power? Is given unlimited power for the attainment of measureless results. Why don't we have power and results? Because we don't offer ourselves to the Lord for service withholding nothing. We offer ourselves to the Lord for blessings for self, or we withhold something for self and give something for God. I'm going to finish. We did manage to go through the sermon. Would you believe that? Would you believe that? The Bible says that the disciples devoted themselves to prayer. The Bible says that the house here should be a house of prayer. The Bible says that people of prayer, and so on and so forth. I could go on and on and on and on. Jesus prayed the whole night. If Jesus prayed the whole night, how much more you should pray? You follow me? God is calling you to experience him. And he is calling you to start that tonight, not tomorrow. Tomorrow is too late. God wants you to make a decision tonight to say, Lord, change my life. I cannot change it. I want to surrender, but I don't have the power. I cannot get victory. I cannot be patient. I cannot have faith. Make me a person of prayer. And make a decision. Don't decide to pray 5 hours. I'm going to pray every night 8 hours. Don't do that. Please. You are going to get discouraged and give up after 2 days. Make a decision, Lord, starting tonight or starting tomorrow morning. I just said tomorrow. Wake me up and help me start the day with you and help me pray 15 minutes. Is that fair? Can you do 15 minutes? And after a week say, Lord, would you please increase it to half an hour? And after a month, say, Lord, would you please increase it to 1 hour and a half? And you are going to see how your life would be totally transformed. People say, why would God answer your prayer? Because I pray. You follow me? Very simple. You want answers? You pray. Don't pray for answers. Pray for relationship. Don't ask blessings. Ask to know Jesus. Thirst for him as a deer. Thirst for his presence. I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to see your face like Moses. I want to spend time with you like David. I want you more than blessings. Please, doesn't matter if you heal me or not. Doesn't matter if you solve my job problem. Before anything, give me Jesus.
And then do whatever you want to me. I trust in you. You follow me? Make that prayer the goal of your life. And you'll see transformation. It's going to influence not only you, but people around you. God will do through you more than you can even dream to pray for. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of prayer. In prayer, in your presence, we are transformed without human effort. Please give us a passion, a love, a thirst, a hunger for your presence. We pray in Jesus' precious name, and thank you. Amen.